Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read together only the first two verses. And while you turn there, let me remind you where we are in the book of Ephesians. We are, of course, in chapter 5. But how we got there was by means of those first three glorious chapters that speak about our riches in Christ, all the things that God has blessed us with, the wonderful spiritual blessings and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He chose us. We should behave holy and blameless. He predestined us for adoption. We're not orphans. According to the purpose of His will, He didn't leave us to make all this up and figure this out. According to the purpose of His will, He intervened in our lives and He planned His plan of the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. And all of us, you and I, every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are a part of that. We are wonderfully rich people, spiritually speaking. And the apostle turns in chapter 4 and he says, because of that, he says, he calls us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And now he's telling us about our responsibilities in Christ in these final three chapters. He's telling us how we ought to respond to God's great riches. And we come to chapter 5 and again he uses that very significant word, therefore. Therefore, because of the new life that we have in Christ, because of the unity of the body of Christ, because of the family and the fortune that He's given us, He knows that we'll be wondering, how do we then live? How do we go about this planet living as the people of God? And He comes and He says, it's very simple. Be imitators of God. If you want to know how to live, just get your eyes right on the great God of heaven as He reigns in all His majesty and His glory and His wonder and His love. Just get your eyes on Him. Get a glimpse of Him. See what He sees. Feel what He feels. Think as He thinks. Love as He loves, and live as He lives. Points us to God. Notice that the apostle does not there come and give us a whole, he does give us a whole lot of things to do, but he doesn't give us a list of things that we need to do and a list of rules. He focuses our attention on God. Nothing this will do. If we have a list of rules that we need to keep, you and I know that we're going to, at the very least, we're going to get distracted. We're going to lose attention and mess up on a few things, do what we're not supposed to do and fail to do what we're supposed to do. But it's just wonderful how He fixes our eyes on God. Because He knows. He knows one little glimpse. One little glimpse at God will make everything new. He knows that. And so He says, you want to know how to live? Do you know what a Christian man and a Christian woman feels and does? Just look at God. Get your eyes on Him and see what He does. And do the same. And so I want to look at the precept, the pattern and the purpose this morning. This precept to be imitators of God. We're going to consider the precept, the pattern and the purpose. And it's very important that we do that because people seem to be desperately grappling for some ideas as to how to live their lives. We see it every day. We see it even in the most pleasant and beautiful of things. Yesterday I went to the Woodlands Mall with my wife in the afternoon and I don't like going to shopping malls, but we went there and I went past a place that sells a lot of food. Let me tell you, it sells a lot of food. You come inside of there in the middle of the afternoon, middle of the morning, people are sitting around a sushi bar. And that's not sinful in itself, although I don't know how people can eat raw fish. But they're sitting around there and they're drinking wine and they're eating. And all around you, you just see food and food and food and food. And from there you travel west. You go to the Steve Biko Hospital and you walk into this place. You see the people are not sitting there eating. They're sitting there with their eyes big and their hearts ripped out. Among them our family this week, and you look at these things. And you're just conscious of how desperate we are to find a pattern to live by. So I become convinced more and more as I live my life as a pastor that if what I say to you does not make sense in the waiting room of an intensive care unit, then it won't make sense anywhere. You see people around the sushi bar trying to figure out how do we live. And the same people in the waiting rooms of the intensive care units. The question, how do we live? We live in a world where people hold up a whole lot of role models to us. There was a time when we had what we called heroes. And heroes were men and women of valor who had some values and who could see beyond where the rest of us could see. They just seemed to have their feet on a higher place where they could see horizons that you and I just couldn't even imagine. Many of them, like Alexander the Great and others, conquered the world. And there were these heroes. And we admired them for mighty acts of valor. Often because they were people who served others rather than themselves and sought to make the world a better place, and they were heroes and we admired them and we looked at them and we held them up as role models, like Alexander the Great, who himself rode around on his horse with a jewel-studded casket, and inside of the casket he had a copy of Homer's Iliad speaking about all these heroes, and he'd read this and he'd emulate them and he'd want to be a hero like them. Be just like them. They were heroes. These days we seem to not have that many heroes. We have, instead of heroes, we have what we call celebrities. The difference between a hero and a celebrity is that a hero is somebody who is known and admired for mighty acts of valor, whereas a celebrity is someone who's just famous for being famous. Often for as menial a thing as playing the guitar. And those of you who know me better by now know that I love playing the guitar. I have nothing against the guitar. But I'm aware that what the world does not need is another bright guitar player. I don't think the world is desperately in need of another guitar player. The world is desperately in need of another hero. Mighty men and women of faith who stand up and mean business with God, who have a glimpse of Him, who look up to heaven, the leaves that He stirs and the trees and the breeze and the mighty Irene or volcano and all the things that He stirs, that we get a glimpse of Him and that we say to one another, there's the way, that's how you live, in that holiness, in that splendor, in that majesty, in that glory, in that self-sacrificing, selfless love that God expresses in every deed, in every act, in every word. And you and I have also a jewel-studded casket that we need to get with us on our horses, and it's called the Bible, and it tells us about the mighty acts of valor and the great glory of this God who throughout redemptive history has blessed us, has loved us from the moment He created us to the moment that He redeemed us. Now the apostle comes and he holds him up as a kind of a precept to us. He says, you want to know how to live? Let me remind you what He's done and why He's done it. And all I'm saying to you is, be like him. See what he sees. Feel what he feels. Love what he loves. And do what he does. Walk where he goes. It's a wonderful precept. I want to first of all consider the precept this morning. It's very simple. There's nothing very spiritual here. When we read it initially, therefore be imitators of God, it can sound so spiritual. It looks like something that you want to stick on a magnet and attach to your refrigerator. And that's, leave it right there. It looks so spiritual. You want to put it on a little card in a box that you pull it out and it sort of stirs your heart a little bit when you read it. But that's not what this is. It's not even very spiritual. It is just so profoundly practical. Look at it. Be imitators of God. That is so practical. That is so simple. That is so down the line. That is so in your face. That is so into your life. It is so into your heart. It is so easy. Be imitators of God. It's profoundly simple and practical. Imitating God, just imagine that. You may say to yourself, who, me? Paul, you don't know me. I can't respond to my alarm clock in the morning without sinning, Paul. You're telling me to imitate God. You don't know me. There's some mornings that I hate my toothbrush. I get angry at the people who made the paste. Just because I wake up with an attitude. You have no idea the depth of the darkness inside of me. You have no idea what I lack, Paul. You have no idea what is inside of me. And here you are, you're telling me, imitate God. You don't know who you're talking to. But he says it. And he says it clearly. And he knows that he's speaking to people who are redeemed. He knows that he's speaking to people who will know the meaning of the word therefore. Who will know what they were. Uncle Bob so blessed me with his testimony this morning. That 82 years old, you can walk into a church and Christ makes all things new. Uncle Bob knows about the therefore, don't you, my brother? And Paul knows that he's speaking about the therefore. It's because of that, and you know what I mean. That therefore says, you know what I mean. You know where you were. You know what you did. You know what you failed to do. You know what was inside of your soul and in your life and the way you lived your life. You know. And I stepped in and I made it all new. And because of that, be imitators of God. It's because that therefore is so wonderful that this precept is so simple. And it calls us to practical duty. That's what it does. Calls us to a lifestyle, to a habit, to a way of life, to a walk. It's a heavenly duty. It elevates us above the things of this world. It elevates us above the pleasure of our toys, the depth of our pain. And it places us in another place. It's a heavenly duty. It's what it does. Everyone is imitating or following someone or something. The King James Version says, be ye followers of God. And the Bible tells us the kind of things that people do follow. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, we are told that some people follow the course of this world. And equates that with the prince of the power of the air. Following that. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3 says, some of us follow our own sinful desires. Those things inside of us that entered in at the fall in the Garden of Eden. Destroyed our prudence, destroyed our temperance, destroyed our justice. Destroyed all those things and caused those wounds in our soul. So that now we just, before Christ saved us, ooze these sinful desires. Some people are following that. Jude verse 18 says, of some people follow their own ungodly passions. But this calls us to a heavenly duty. And in order to be imitators of God, we need to have a vision of God. We need to get a glimpse of Him. We need to know God. That's why I'm preaching through the attributes of God in our evening services. Ryan, I tell you something about those things that we cannot imitate. Like His glory, His eternity, His majesty, His omnipotence, His omnipresence. We cannot imitate that because we're mortals. But what we can imitate are His communicable attributes, His wisdom, His sheer. And I use this phrase deliberately. His sheer down to earth goodness. We can imitate that. We can do some of that. His love and His grace and His mercy and His long suffering, His holiness, His righteousness and His justice and His truthfulness. And why must we do it? Look at the reason. He gives the reason. As beloved children. It's how a child imitates his parents. I remember my son when he was smaller, and some of you dads with smaller sons, even you mums with girls, you will know how they imitate you. I remember my sisters coming down the house's passage with my mom's shoes on, trying to be like mom. Remember my sister trying to make her hair like mom's. I remember how they messed up the kitchen as they trying to cook like mom. I praise God they couldn't reach the top of the stove. They tried to be like mom, imitating her. My son, I remember, he was this irritating little shadow when he was small. Irritating in a nice way. When I put my fist under my chin, my elbow on a counter, he'd put his fist under his chin and his elbow on the counter. When I crossed my legs and put my hand on my hip, he'd cross his legs and put his hand on his hip. It was like he was making fun of me. Imitating Dad. And that's the picture here. You're his children. Be like your father. Do what he does. You know what he does. Know what he did this morning? He woke you up another day and brought you to worship. Because he has a plan for you as you're sitting there. You know what he does. I know what he did at 1 o'clock in the morning. In faithfulness he took my mother into his glory. We have a wonderful Father. And He calls us to imitate Him. It calls us to practical duty. Secondly, it treats us as children. Thirdly, it ennobles us. It raises us. It elevates us beyond the things of this world. It makes us noble. Your whole life is at another level. It's no longer this menial existence. But you live the life of nobility. It tests us. It tests our knowledge. It tests our love. It tests our sincerity and our spirit. It aids us. shows us how to be. It shows us how to think. It shows us how to feel. It shows us how to act. It shows us what not to do. It strengthens us in our walk. We don't care what the world thinks, because we following our Father makes us useful. I know of nothing else in the whole world that will make us more useful than this. To imitate our God. You know something else? It makes our faith honorable. It makes our religion honorable. Sometimes you think it's hard to do things different to the way the world does it. So you want to be popular with people around you. You want to fit in. Well, this makes our faith honorable. Because as you say no to the things of the world, as you take a different course, as you aim for higher ground, as you turn your back on the things of this world, and you do them differently to the people at your place of work, if you start doing them differently from the people who walk the sidewalks of our city with you, if you start doing them differently to the people that ride in the traffic with you, you start doing them differently from the people that surround you every day. Let me tell you something. The people who look at you know that you are right. They may pretend that's holy roller. They may pretend that's not the way to do it. They may pretend that you're the odd one out. But they know. They know that you're right. Because the people around you every day who follow other things, who follow the flesh, who follow the drives of their own flesh, their sinful desires, their passions, the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the people who follow that, let me tell you this morning and inspire you towards evangelism. They know that there is something wrong. They know that there is something missing. They know about that great emptiness inside. They know that this world can never satisfy, and they may hate you for walking the way that you do, but you know what? They can't sneer at you because they know that you're right. They know that there is a higher way, so it makes our religion honorable. How do we do it then? Let's look at the pattern. We've considered the precept. Let's look at the pattern. And it's so vivid. It's like he's asking us, you want to know how to do that? How to imitate me? He says, walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's how you do it. And how did Jesus do it? He was selfless. And he was sacrificial. I want to focus your attention on a little word in the text that we can miss if we're not careful. It's a very significant word. If we want to imitate God, we want to see what Jesus saw. And the word I'm referring to is in verse 2. He says, and walk in love as Christ loved. And there's the word. Us. Us. You. And me. Do you always understand that? Do you understand now? Can it be that he loved me? You sometimes wonder about that. Me of all people, how can it be that God loved the likes of me? The likes of us. And in order to love us, he had to notice us first. And there is a world out there. Listen to them driving their cars as we worship together. Maybe you'll pick up something at the shop this afternoon. You'll see them trundling the malls. We need to notice them before we can love them. He noticed you and He noticed me. And He loved. Selflessly and sacrificially. I must close. Consider the purpose. Why must we do it? It's a wonderful purpose. He says, He gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There it is, right there. The whole purpose of it is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's why we do it. It's not to satisfy our urges. It's not to avoid pain, because sometimes loving will hurt you. In order for love to be sacrificial, you can expect some pain, can't you? It'll cost you something. But it'll gain you the knowledge that there is a God in heaven who stands in all His glory behind that therefore. He's behind it. That therefore. And when I love as His Son did, He is glorified. It's like a sweet smell to Him. It's like incense. It pleases Him and brings Him glory. That's the purpose of it. What a noble way to live a life. That's the way to do it. How should we then live? Who is our role model? God, the hero of heroes, be imitators of Him. I encourage you this morning, look at your Father. See what He sees. Notice what He notices. See the pain. See the hurt. See the hopelessness. See the confusion. See the hatred. See the hunger. Feel what He feels inside of Him. And then act as He acts. Be imitators of God. Let us pray together. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You for Yourself. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that You'll help us by Your Spirit and Your Word to get such a clear glimpse of You, Lord, Your glory. Oh, we'll see You clearly so that we may be like You. Thank You for the grace and the wonderful invitation. Thank You for that, Father. Now do it in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name, and we thank You. Amen. Dearly beloved in Christ, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.